So thank you all for coming, and I have just a short little address that I want to bring to you from the Word of God. I'm just going to read a few scripture verses, so bear with me. I've got five Bible verses that I want to read to you. First one's Luke chapter 3, verse 5. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. Then the second verse, Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2. But your iniquities, your sins have separated between you and your God. And your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Romans chapter 5 is the next verse, verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And then the last one is the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2, and verse 2. The wise man said, where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. Okay, we know God will bless those verses to all of our hearts. How many of you put up a Christmas tree this year in the meeting? Just the children? None of the adults put up Christmas trees? Yeah, most of you put up Christmas trees as well. Now, tell me a few things that you put on a Christmas tree. Yeah? Christmas baubles, yeah? What do you put in your tree? A star, very good. Boy, this time, yeah? What do you put in your Christmas tree? An angel on it, yeah? Lights, okay. Anything else goes in the Christmas tree? Yes? A what? A bow, yeah? You put a bow in the Christmas tree. Put whatever you like in the Christmas tree, can you? Yeah? Darcy, did you have your hand up? Oh, somebody's already said your answer. Yeah, one more. Tinsel, that's right. Okay, you can put all sorts of things on Christmas trees. I got a photograph sent to my phone from somebody that's in this meeting, and they put a fairy on top of their Christmas tree. But it wasn't the type of fairy that you'd usually see. It was, you know, fairy that you used to wash the dishes? It was a bottle of fairy. And it just said, how do you like our fairy? And there it was, fairy on top of the Christmas tree. Wacko. What are you joking? But of course, you put lights on put lights on Christmas trees, don't you? And the thing about these Christmas lights, they are designed for a purpose. And somebody has designed them. Very simple thought. They are designed for a purpose, and somebody has designed them. Just like you, just like me, we have all got somebody who has designed us, somebody who has made us, and somebody who has made us for a purpose. And just like these Christmas lights, they are designed to shine, send forth light, and they're made and they're supposed to work. And it's exactly the same with us. God has made us so that we might work for him and so that we might shine for him. So understand that. God made you. God designed you. You've got a purpose in life, and only God can help you fulfill that purpose. Now, whenever you go up into the attic and you get the tree down and you get all of the decorations down and you get the lights out, most of the time, one of three things, or all of three things, will happen. The first thing will be this. No matter how careful you've been putting the lights away, they'll always be tangled up. Isn't that right? Doesn't matter how careful you are, you put the lights away and you wrap them around and you get them in a big spool, a big coil, and you've been really careful, it'll always happen whenever you try to put them out straight. They'll all be tangled up. And that's just like our lives. God has made us. And yet, because of choices that we make, decisions that we make without God, we get ourselves all twisted, all out of sorts, and we get all tangled up because we decide sometimes, I know better than God, I've got my own way, I don't need to go God's way, and we make choices and we make decisions and we get all tangled up, and it's very, very hard to get us untangled. And yet the Bible says that Jesus Christ came not only to set the captives free, but he came to make the crooked straight. So it sometimes takes a little bit of time to get the lights all nice and straight so that they're no longer tangled up. And maybe you're here tonight, and if you're absolutely honest, your life is all tangled up because you've made choices and you've made decisions and you've never prayed, you've never read the Bible, or you've never thought, what would God want me to do? Or what would the Lord Jesus Christ have done? Or what does the Bible say? Or what way would God have me to go? You know, there's a lovely verse in the Bible, and it says, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. But whenever we think, I don't need God to direct me, I can find my own way and make my own decisions, and maybe we tell a lie to get out of something, or maybe we take something that doesn't belong to us, or we say something unkind about somebody else, and before you know it, things just spiral out of control, and there's a big tangled up mess, and only God can set us straight and make us right. So that's often the first thing that happens when you get the Christmas lights out. They're all tangled up. Then the second thing that'll happen, you'll plug the lights in, you'll press the switch, you'll get all excited, little drum roll, turn out the lights, will you see this everybody? You hit the switch and absolutely nothing happens. No light. And you know the old Christmas lights that we had at home whenever I was a little boy? My dad would put them up, wrap them around the tree, turn them on, nothing happens. And he would get a little bit exasperated because back in those days, each little bulb screwed in and you had to get a packet of new bulbs down in Woolworths and start at the beginning, nearest the plug, unscrew the bulb, screw a good one in, hit the switch, nothing happens, and you go right down. And say you had 200 bulbs, it would probably be about 195 down the line before you actually got the bulb that was broken. And what happens whenever a bulb blows? There's a little filament inside, a little coil. And if you were able to look really closely, whenever that bulb blows, that filament breaks and the circuit is broken. You see, the bulbs work on a loop system. And once the loop is broken by a bulb that is blown, there can be no power and there can be no light and the bulbs don't fulfill their purpose. And isn't that, again, just like us? You see, whenever we sin, and whenever we choose to go our own way, and whenever we disobey God's commandments, what we're doing is we are breaking God's law. And we read a little bit earlier in the Bible that our iniquities, our sins, have separated between us and our God. And for that reason, there are many people in the world tonight, and they'll say, well, where is God whenever all of the bad things happen? Why hasn't God blessed me? And they get angry with God, and they blame God, or they don't believe that God even exists, or they don't want to have anything to do with God. And the result is that life just seems always to be missing something because there's this gap that has broken the link between us and our God. And boys and girls, that's why Jesus Christ came into the world. He came into the world to die on a cross, to bridge that gap that was broken between us and God. And the Bible talks about being reconciled. You see, if you fell out with your buddy at school tomorrow, and then you thought tomorrow night when you went home, I shouldn't have fallen out with my best friend. I'm going to not enjoy my Christmas whenever we're not friends. I want to make friends with them. And you go back to them and you apologize and they apologize and you shake hands and you maybe have a hug, and then you start to play together, and the relationship that was broken is fixed. That is the same as being reconciled, reconciliation. And we have a broken relationship with our God because of our sin, not his. But yet on the cross, the Lord Jesus died to reconcile us to God. And if we come and ask God to forgive us and cleanse us, we can be reconciled to Him. This little set of bulbs that I have, it doesn't plug in, but there's a little power pack here, and unless there are batteries inside it, the bulbs will never light up. They need something more. They need something inside. They need the batteries. And so it is with us as well. We maybe look at the Bible, or you maybe not a Christian yet, and you look at the Bible, or you look at the Ten Commandments, and you think about going to church and living for God and praying and doing all of these things, and you think, I have no desire to do that. I don't want to do it. And even if I did, I don't think that I could. And that's because you don't have Jesus Christ living by faith in your heart. You can never live the Christian life or please God unless you have the Lord Jesus Christ and His power in you. And that's why I read those verses earlier from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Do you remember whenever Paul said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. There was a time in his life where he looked back and he hated the name of Jesus. He hated the people that called themselves Christians. He wanted nothing to do with them apart from to mock and persecute them. But whenever he himself became a Christian, all of his desires changed and he had power to live for God. So hopefully now that we've got it all sorted out and hopefully all of the bulbs are right and the circuit isn't broken and we've got the power inside and we flick the switch on, hopefully all the lights should come on. And thankfully they have. I don't know what I'd have done there if they didn't work, but they do, so we don't need to worry about it. Okay, somebody tell me what this color is, this one here. Yeah? Blue. Can you think of anything that's blue? Anything that's blue, yeah? The sea is blue. Good answer, yeah. What else is blue? Anybody else? Yeah? The sky's blue. Very good. Anybody else got a good answer? Yeah? We're running out of things. We've got the sky. We've got the sea. There's something else. I've forgotten what it was. Yeah? What's that? Did you hear? Oh, somebody's dress, that's right. You can get a blue dress as well. Sorry, need to get this thing switched to T up here on the loop system. Some of the older people will know what I'm talking about. Okay, blue. Somebody said the sky. Now, in Northern Ireland, might be black, it might be grey, it might be white, but sometimes if you get a nice day, the sky above us is blue. And in the Word of God, in the Bible, colours are very important. They're all deeply significant. And one of the colors that is mentioned quite a lot in the Bible is the color blue. And whenever you read about blue in the Bible, it is often reminding us about the heavens above, the sky, and what lies beyond that. And that reminds us that the Lord Jesus, the one who can straighten us out, the one who can bridge that gap between us and God, the one who can give us power to live the Christian life, he came from heaven. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Do you remember the song, the Christmas song? He came down to earth from heaven. Who is God and Lord of all, and his shelter was a stable and his cradle was a stall. You see, Jesus was born at Bethlehem, but the Son of God is eternal, and he came into this world 2,000 years ago from heaven. Okay, here's the next color. Anybody tell me what that is? Yeah, Darcy? Sun color, yeah. What color is the sun? Yellow, yeah. What color do you think it is? Orange, yeah. Anybody else got any other ideas? Yellow, orange? Yellow, orangey, yeah, that's good, good. See where you're coming from. Yeah? Black. don't want to disagree with you, but... yellowy, orangey, good answer. Orange, yellow, or we might say it's like a gold color. And in the Bible, again, gold is very important because whenever you think of somebody who wears gold, who would you think of who wears gold on their head? An angel, okay. Did you have an answer? Who wears gold? Yeah, this boy here. Beside. The king? The queen or the king? Yes. Yeah. So whenever we think of gold, we think maybe of somebody who's royal. Maybe has a golden scepter like a king or a golden crown like a queen. And we think of the Lord Jesus coming down from heaven. And then we think of the color gold. And that reminds us that he is the king. And whenever he was born, the wise men asked the question, where is he who is born king of the Jews? And then away back there in the Old Testament, the prophet Jeremiah said he is the king of righteousness. And the Bible also says he is the king of kings. Even whenever he was nailed to the cross, it was written above his head, Jesus, the king of the Jews. And you know, there's a day coming. We're not sure when it will be, but the Bible tells us there's a day coming whenever every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. And everybody will have to acknowledge someday that Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. And what better time to do that than right now? And say, as the hymn writer said, King of my life. Lord Jesus, I want you to be my Savior. I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be my King. And I want you to rule and reign in my life. Okay, easy. Anybody know what color this is? Henry? Green, okay. Can you tell me anything that's green? Yeah? Grass is green, good answer. Anything else that's green? Trees are green, mostly, yeah. Anything that's green? Flowers are green, yeah. Green leaves and flowers, green stems, good answer, yeah. Christmas trees are green, anything else? What if I was to open your lunchbox tomorrow? Would there be anything green inside it? And I'm not talking about Skittles or Smarties or those sorts of things. Anything green in your lunchbox? Yeah. An apple, okay. What about spinach? Anybody like spinach? No. What about cabbage or lettuce or peas or Brussels sprouts? I was thinking it would be really good this year to make everybody a special selection box with healthy things in it. Parsnips and carrots and Brussels sprouts and potatoes and all of the things that children really enjoy to eat. Okay, and there's a lot of green things you maybe shouldn't eat as well. But whenever we think of green things, we often think of things that grow like the grass or like the apples or like the trees or like the leaves or like the plants. Whenever we think of green, we think of things that are living and things that are alive. And the Lord Jesus Christ was born into this world. He came from heaven. He was born as the king. But he grew up the same way you have grown up. He grew up through his childhood years, on into his teenage years, then into his 20s, then into his 30s, and at the age of 33, they nailed him to a cross. But you know, all of those years that he lived on this earth, the Bible says he was pure, he was holy, he was harmless, and he was undefiled. He never told a lie. You can trust him. He never stole anything that didn't belong to him. He never had a lustful or a bad thought. He never repaid evil for evil. He never gossiped or slandered. Everything he thought, everything he said, everything he did was perfect. And he's the only man that has ever lived a perfect life. Something that none of us could ever do. So remember that. Jesus Christ came from heaven. He was born as the king. He lived a perfect life. And then our last color for tonight is this color. Red. Tell me something that's red. Yeah? Something that's red. What's that? Roses. Red roses. Good answer. Yeah. Darcy? The wall behind me? Good stuff. Well noticed. Anything else that's red? Blood's red. Good answer, Zoe. Ivy's jumper. Very good. Can't miss Ivy's jumper. Christmas jumper club. Up at the front here. Can you think of any football teams that wear red? Yeah? Liverpool. Okay, forget about Liverpool. Anybody else? Noah? Man United. Okay, anybody else? A football kit? Yeah, football kits, that's what we're thinking of, yeah. Wheels, good answer, yeah. Didn't expect that. What about poured it down? No? Okay, whenever we think of red, somebody mentioned blood is red. And that's one of the most important things that the Bible teaches us. Jesus Christ left heaven. He was born on this earth. He was the King. He lived a perfect, sinless life. And then he went to a cross. And on that cross, he was stripped of his garments. He was crowned with thorns. And boys and girls, parents, nails were put through his hands and feet. And on that cross, the scripture says he was made sin for us. He became a sin offering. And he took all of my guilt and all of my shame and all of my sin. And through the offering up of himself and through the shedding of his precious blood, he was able to take all of the guilt of my sin away. And that's the most wonderful news that this world has ever received. That bridge that has been broken can be made up again. That life that is all tangled up and out of sorts can be made straight. And that life that is void of power and purpose can have fulfillment. All because the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, shed his blood upon a cross for our sins. Maybe some of the older people that are in the meeting tonight's brought back memories for you. You've maybe been brought up in this Sunday school or some other Sunday school, and you can think of times whenever you stood on a platform like this and you sang Once in Royal David City, and you sang Away in a Manger, and you sang Hark the Herald Angels Sing, and all of the years have gone, and here you are tonight, and you're not a Christian. And there's things all tangled up in your life. And I want to tell you tonight that God sent his Son to die on a cross because God loved this world. And if you turn to him tonight, call upon his name and trust him with your heart and ask him to save you and cleanse you and forgive you, he can do that. And not only that, but he'll give you the power to live the Christian life. And he'll enable you to fulfill the purpose for which you were created. So I wish you all a very happy Christmas, a happy 2017, but even more than that, a happy eternity with Christ, which is far better. Thank you for coming, and may God bless his word tonight to your hearts. Let's have a prayer together, and let's ask God to bless our coming together tonight. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise this evening for this meeting, for all of the children, for all of the boys and girls, and for all of the family and friends that have come here tonight. And Lord, we thank you for your word that reminds us that you sent thine only begotten Son to be our Savior. We thank thee, O God, for this wonderful gift. The greatest gift that anybody could ever receive is the gift of Jesus Christ, the Savior and his Lord. We pray tonight, O God, that many in this place tonight will receive this gift by faith. And we pray tonight that you'll part us with thy blessing. Keep everybody safe over the holidays. Watch over us. Bring us back again. And Lord, we pray that thou wilt look after us and help us to glorify the Lord and to enjoy him forever. Hear and answer prayer. We ask these things in the Savior's name.